When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Duluth Window Knocker, a chill that creeps in. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Raven Vale, and tonight we journey to a place where the cold isn't just in the air, but in the very marrow of a decades-old mystery. We're heading to Duluth, Minnesota, in the heart of winter, 1996, a place where the wind howls off Lake Superior like a hungry wolf, and the snow piles deep, silencing the world under a blanket of white. A perfect setting, you might say, for a story to curdle the blood. Our tale begins on a Tuesday morning, a day like any other in the quiet, tree-lined streets of an older Duluth neighborhood. Except it wasn't. Not for the first responders who were called to a small, unassuming bungalow. The address belonged to Mrs. Agnes Perrault, a woman in her late 70s, a creature of habit, known for her meticulously kept garden in the summer and her fierce independence year-round. But on this particular morning, Agnes had failed to answer her phone, and a concerned niece had called the authorities. The scene that greeted them inside was a tableau of unspeakable horror, rendered all the more grotesque by the biting cold that permeated every corner of the house. Agnes Perrault was found in her living room, a room typically warmed by a crackling fire and the scent of cinnamon. But on this morning, the air was frigid, colder, it seemed, than the outside. Agnes herself was slumped in her favorite armchair, utterly frozen. Her eyes were wide, staring, fixed on a point beyond the wall. And her mouth, dear listeners, was agape, locked in a silent, eternal scream. The medical examiner's initial assessment was straightforward: hypothermia. In a Duluth winter, this was not an uncommon tragedy, especially for the elderly. But then, the details began to surface. Tiny, insidious discrepancies that picked at the edges of a simple explanation, like frost clinging to a window pane. The most jarring detail, the one that truly defied logic, was the window. The living room window, directly across from where Agnes was found, was open. Not just a crack, not just a sliver, but wide, admitting the full, brutal force of the sub-zero air. In a house where the furnace was reportedly working, where every other window was sealed tight against the merciless cold, this open portal screamed of something profoundly wrong. Who in their right mind, in the depths of a Duluth winter, would leave a window open? And why? As the news spread, whispers began to ripple through the neighborhood. Neighbors, initially offering condolences and theories of forgetfulness or a sudden, fatal heart attack, started to share something else. Something darker. Something that had been gnawing at their peace for the past week. It began, they said, almost 7 nights prior to Agnes's discovery. A soft, rhythmic tapping. Barely audible at first, like branches brushing against glass. But it wasn't branches. It was distinct. A knocking. Not aggressive, not demanding, but persistent. Always at night. Always at Agnes's window. Mrs. Henderson, Agnes's next-door neighbor, a woman with a reputation for both her prize-winning petunias and her sharp ear for gossip, was the first to openly admit it. "I thought it was just the wind at first," she'd recounted to a local reporter, her voice a low murmur. But then it got different, more deliberate, like someone was knocking with their knuckles. She'd described it as a subtle sound, almost shy, but always there, once the streetlights came on, lasting for an hour, sometimes two. Other neighbors, initially hesitant to speak of such strange occurrences, soon corroborated her story. The knocking became a nightly fixture, a low hum beneath the usual nighttime sounds of a quiet residential street. It was unsettling, to be sure, but in the context of elderly Agnes, who might have simply forgotten to close her blinds, or perhaps had a mischievous grandchild, it was dismissed as an oddity. Until the final night. The night before, Agnes Perrault's lifeless form was discovered. That night, the knocking changed. It wasn't soft anymore. It was louder, more insistent, a frantic rapping that echoed in the stillness of the frigid air. And then, something else began. A sound that crawled under the skin and rooted itself in the deepest parts of the primal brain. Laughter. Not the warm, jovial laughter of a human. Not even the mocking cackle of a cruel joke. No, this was different. This was a dry, hollow sound, like autumn leaves skittering across frozen ground. It wasn't loud, but it carried a chilling, almost brittle sound, devoid of warmth or joy, infused with an unnerving, knowing amusement. And intertwined with this unsettling mirth, another sound, a distinct, unnerving clicking, like long, sharp nails tapping against a hard surface. Or perhaps something else entirely. Something with claws. Mr. Davies, a retired postal worker living across the street, a man not prone to flights of fancy, swore he heard it. He'd been watching television, a late-night talk show, when the sounds began. The knocking had intensified, a relentless drumbeat against the window. Then the laughter, thin and reedy, seeming to weave through the icy air. And then, the clicking. He described it as a precise, methodical sound, like something testing its grip, or perhaps marking time. He'd looked out his own window, peering through the frosted glass, but saw nothing but the swirling snow and the dim glow of the street lamp illuminating Agnes's house. He'd considered calling the police, but the sounds had abruptly ceased, leaving only the silence of the winter night in their wake. He'd dismissed it as a trick of the wind, a momentary lapse of reason, until the next morning, when he saw the flashing lights of the emergency vehicles. The police, when they arrived to investigate Agnes's death, took statements from the neighbors. They noted the accounts of the knocking, the laughter, and the clicking. They conducted a thorough search of the house, looking for signs of forced entry, a struggle, anything that would indicate a human intruder. There was nothing. No footprints in the fresh snow around the open window. No signs of a forced lock. No disturbed possessions. The house was meticulously neat, as Agnes always kept it, save for the horrifying scene in the living room and the wide-open window. The official conclusion remained hypothermia, with the open window attributed to some unknown, perhaps confused action by Agnes herself. The strange noises, the police suggested, were likely misinterpretations of the wind, branches, or perhaps even the ramblings of overly imaginative neighbors. But those who heard them, those who lived through that week of creeping dread, knew better. They knew the difference between the moan of the wind and the dry, chilling laughter. They knew the difference between the rustle of leaves and the deliberate click of unseen claws. The case of Agnes Perrault, the Duluth window knocker, remains officially unsolved. No arrests were ever made. No logical explanation for the open window in sub-zero temperatures or the escalating sounds was ever offered. The house stood vacant for years, a dark, silent sentinel on the quiet street, its windows like vacant eyes, staring out into the unforgiving Duluth winter. People avoided walking by it after dark, and children whispered stories of the old woman and the sounds that came to her window. Was it a prank gone horribly wrong? pushed to a tragic extreme by someone with a twisted sense of humor. Perhaps. But what kind of prank involves laughter devoid of human warmth and the sound of claws? Was it a bizarre, isolated incident, a perfect storm of circumstances, and a vulnerable old woman? Or was there something else, something far older and more malevolent, drawn to the solitude of Agnes Perrault's final days? The human mind, in its relentless pursuit of order, struggles to reconcile the known with the unknown, the mundane with the truly inexplicable. But sometimes, dear listeners, the darkness leaves us with only whispers. Whispers of a presence that knocks not to gain entry, but to announce its arrival. A presence that laughs not in joy, but in chilling amusement at the fear it instills. And a presence that leaves behind only the frozen echo of a scream and the lingering question, what or who was truly knocking on Agnes Perrault's window that fateful winter night in Duluth?